Sure is. Okay, Glenn Kimball is our very special guest. And this hour, we're going to take your phone calls. I did kind of a flip-flop tonight when we moved Glenn up to the first hour. So I hope you enjoyed this little surprise. We'll be back with Glenn. We'll be back with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Glenn, for all the years you've been doing this, all the research, all the different places you've been, what one facet of everything you've investigated has just really got you going? Your passion. Is there one? I know you love them all, but I mean, which one really did it to you?
Well, I think the most impact that I ever had in my life was to feel the real goodness of the people in the third world. I mean, that may not be miraculous or anthropological or archaeological, but the people of the world are wonderful people. I remember being in the middle of an anti-American demonstration in La Paz, Bolivia, one time. I walked right through the middle of it, and as I was walking through the middle of it, everyone hugged me and wanted to shake my hand and told me I was a good guy. And I remember doing the same thing in Egypt with Princess Malik. You know, you think of all the bad will of the Egyptians toward the Americans, and she took me around the country. She set me in a chair in the middle of a square one day, and she held back the people until then she lifted up the gate and let all the children and the people come and just shake my hand and say hi and how much they really cared about us. You know, the politics are and the hatred is something that really doesn't belong to the people of the world. The people of the world are generally good, are generally kind. They care about their families. They care about their beliefs. They care about us, whether we think so or not. It's this small fraction of people that foment hatred and destruction. And frankly, I think that is inspirational, absolutely inspirational to realize that the world is generally a good place.
I agree with that, Glenn. As a matter of fact, my theory is that most of the planet people are loving and they care. It's this series of groups, or you call them the Illuminati. They're the ones that want to create tension and turmoil on this planet. They're the ones that profit by it, and they're the ones that we should be concerned about.
Yeah, and it's horrific. You know, one of my friends was in the Brazilian conference about 15 years ago, where Ted Turner and others were in the presence of this group that you're talking about. And he says that Ted Turner came running out of the meeting and say, they want to limit the population of the planet to 300 million people. And he was arrested, and he was told to shut up, and he went back in the meeting, and he came back with a different story. You know, and people don't know I know that. But, you know, it's a small fraction of people who foment hate in the world. Even amongst the Islamic groups, I was invited by the princess on the Nile River on her barge, which could have held 500 people. I mean, this was not a little boat. This was elegant. She was the former queen of Morocco, and owns the King Tut exhibit. I mean, she's wealthy. I was sitting there. I was sitting next to the former Miss Universe from Lebanon on one side, and an Egyptian movie star on the other side. And
lucky you, Mr. Kimball.
Well, I just felt humbled to even be there, and she stood up and she said, "I'd like Mr. Kimball to speak." And I went, "What?"
Out of the blue, just like that.
Just out of the blue, never gave me a second's warning. And I remember stood up and tears came to my eyes, and I said, "You know, it's time that the Islamic people and the people from Egypt and from the surrounding Middle Eastern countries have a voice in the world for themselves. No longer should we export your history. No longer should your tales be told by England and Germany and the other countries of the world. They should be told by you. And it's your responsibility to stand up and tell them in the beautiful and magnificent way that you can."
Good point. Let's go to some of the phones. You ready, Glenn?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to West of the Rockies. You're on with Glenn Kimball on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is McAllister in Seattle.
Hi, what a wonderful name. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, George and Glenn.
Hi.
Glenn, I'm really interested in your being able to trace your family tree back to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me something about that? Like, what countries does it go through, and was it easy to do? That's a lot of time.
Well,
I can hardly get anywhere with mine.
Well, my dad had genealogical records from one side of the house to the other side of the house, and we had a 6,000 square foot house.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about 80 feet, and that's the papers up, standing upright. Okay.
It's a lot of work.
But if you can trace your lineage back to the royal family members of Europe,
mm-hmm.
You're going to trace your family members back to Christ at some point in time. Because remember that Jesus' son, the great Jesus Justice, was the first Mergovian king of France. And from that came the royal family members. And when they talked about the royal family members of Europe and of Asia as having the divine right of kings, it was not the divine right that they self-imposed. It was the divine right that they got from their ancestry.
Okay. That's wonderful. Really interesting show.
Okay. Thanks, McAllister. Appreciate you being on the program. We'll go to our wild card line now. You're up with us. Hi there.
How you doing?
I am well. Thank you.
Well, you know, I was listening to you a while ago when he said there was like 10,000 people still walking the face of the earth that cannot die. Did I hear that correctly?
I think he did. You say 1,000 or 10,000, Glenn?
I said Hesiod said there were 10,000.
10,000. All right. You got that right, sir.
That is astonishing. All right. Thank you.
Okay. And I am not one of them, by the way. You know, I had a guest on just a couple nights ago, Christian Wild, and I asked him that question. I said, if you don't get any diseases, if your organs stay intact, if your heart is okay and the arteries are clean, how long can you last? And he didn't really have an answer for that. But you brought up an interesting point. The body should be able to go on and on if, all things considered, you take care of yourself.
Well, insurance companies have done this. You know, I have a friend that's one of the vice presidents of a major insurance, a life insurance company in the world. He said, even if we were able to live forever, and he shares many of my same beliefs, he said, really, people should only live for about 650 years, because in 650 years, chances are you'll have an accident, kill yourself.
Something will happen. Somebody will take a shot at you, something.
Yeah, or you get hit by a car or something, or you catch a disease of some sort. He said, but the reality of the matter, the fact is that the human body was engineered to live forever. We have the healing. The body is so amazing. It has the ability to not only heal itself, but replace itself over and over again throughout your lifetime. And these undead, have you ever heard the stories of someone's driving down a remote road and you get a flat tire and some guy comes out of nowhere and helps fix the flat? You turn around and he's gone.
He's gone.
I mean,
he's
how many of those stories do we all know? I mean, I know of at least 500 of them because I...
You know what? You just opened up a great idea for me for my open lines next hour, the undead line.
Yeah, you should. And you should have people tell those stories because they're everywhere. And who are those guys?
Good idea, Glenn. We're going to do that. I'm going to put you on a retainer, by the way.
You've retained me enough.
You know, if I live to be 650 years old, continue doing Coast to Coast, do you know, of course, you said you'd go to about 100 and check out. Do you know I'd be interviewing, like, Glenn Kimball the fourth or the fifth on this show?
Well, I'd sit on one side of the seesaw, and all four of them could sit on the other side, and I'd still weigh them down.
Let's go to our next wild card line. You're on the air with us. Welcome to the program. You are on. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, am I on?
You sure are.
Oh, boy. I was wondering if your guests might want to comment on the tales about Lemuria and Atlantis, and that they may have gone into a nuclear battle.
Well, that could be right down your alley, Mr. Kimball.
Well, we know that each of the epochs of time were separated by a cataclysm. And by the way, Plato, let's take the words of Plato. Plato said that Atlantis was destroyed because they violated the laws of the earth and of God. And that was the same reason why each of the four previous epochs of time prior to Adam and Eve were destroyed. However, there were remnants from each of these epochs of time that survived and followed through. I mean, we have the opinion that the earth was erased or obliterated from people. That's probably not the case. There were probably isolated pockets of humans that, in fact, we know that genetically, that survived these cataclysmic events, but which came from former epochs of time. And these people, that when you meet them, are amazing. You can tell that there's something very strange about them because they know everything you're thinking. They'll tell you things that they couldn't possibly know. They'll help you in ways that they couldn't possibly help you. They have superhuman strength that you can't possibly imagine. I mean, you'll be able to tell when you've really caught one. You almost have to catch them in the act and be watching for them. But they're out there. And by the way, you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And you know, I happen to believe that good people have good things happen to them. The best way to observe traffic is when you're standing on the freeway. You can't do it from off the freeway. You can't really experience football from the grandstands. You have to be out there throwing the ball. If you're in that arena, then these kind of things happen to you frequently. You know, you had a guest. You know, one of the things I was listening to that you said that a guest had a story that you didn't know whether they believed or not, where the guy was called by his pastor and saved his life from killing himself.
Right.
I had an
great story.
Let me just divert 2 seconds here and tell you that the same thing happened to me, only a little bit different. I was sleeping in my bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. It was been almost 18 years ago, and I had these steel fingers grab me by the shoulder and shake me real hard and say, "Get out of your bed and get in your car." And since this has happened to me so many times, I didn't question it. It was a cold winter night, and I didn't know where the heck I was going. I drove down the main street of town, and I was just driving down the street, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I was doing what I was asked to do. I looked over the left, and I saw an old friend of mine, and that voice came out as clear as day and said, "That man is dying." I parked my car on the wrong side of the road, facing the wrong way, mm-hmm. got out and said, "Are you okay?" He said, "I'm fine." I said, "Stand right there a minute." I went immediately to the telephone and called 911 and said, "I need an ambulance."
And he said he was fine.
I called 911 because, you know, they're not going to wake you up in the middle of the night and tell you a lie.
Well, that's true.
And I knew that. I'd had too much experience with it. And when the ambulance came, he was just falling down. I was told later that if we had waited 2 more minutes, he wouldn't have made it.
Heart attack?
No, he'd overdosed.
Oh. Just amazing.
Yeah, and so these experiences happen to very normal people. I'm nobody special. The only thing is that I look for it. I try for it. I'm a believer in the goodness of people. And you know, I follow the example of heroes, people like Gunnar Thompson, Wayne May, and yourself, who've pioneered the pathways for guys like me who just take advantage of these opportunities to say how we feel. You know?
First time caller line, you're on with Glenn Kimball on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, my name is Steve. I'm from Jackson, Mississippi.
Yes.
I was wanting to find out, the Cherokee, you had mentioned the Native Americans had built the mounds, and this, knew this. Is there any correlation between, the Cherokee and Egypt with the pyramids pointing towards the stars at Orion's Belt? And the Cherokee called themselves the Star People, said that they originally came mm-hmm. from the stars. And the Cherokees have a lot of Hebrew traditions. They carry a sacred fire that they could never let go out in a sacred ark. And they said that there was one God. They called him Yehovah. And so I was wanting to find out if there's any. And they said that Yehovah had given them commandments to follow to be good. Is there any correlation between this?
You need to go to my website and take the class called He Walked the Americas. It's an hour-long CD. It will knock you down. It will help you to understand what that was all about. Of course there is. It was a great question, and the answer is available at the website.
Wonderful. I can't wait to see it.
Okay, thanks. So he's on to something, huh, Glenn?
Absolutely.
Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Just 2 quick questions.
Sure.
Earlier, you mentioned something about King Arthur II. Never heard of King Arthur II. And the second question is, since we're talking about Egyptians and stuff in America, I heard that there was a pyramid found somewhere here in America. If you could shed some light on that, I'd appreciate it. And I'll listen to you off the air.
All right. Thank you very much. King Arthur II. Go ahead, Glenn.
Well, King Arthur II, obviously Coast to Coast has had the great Adrian Gilbert on the program before. Adrian Gilbert wrote a book called The Holy Kingdom. He used the research of Wilson and Bram in Great Britain. That book is the fundamental resource for King Arthur II. If you want to know the, unfortunately that book is out of print, but you need to try and find a copy of it. If you want to have the details of King Arthur II and the difference between the two of them, they may have been the same person, but it's likely that they were two separate kings, the grandson of the great King Arthur himself. But I take their research, and I just love Adrian Gilbert, and I think Wilson and Bram are part of the heroic figures that have exposed a great piece of history to us. And in terms of pyramids, of course, in Cahokia, you know that that's the largest pyramid by volume in the world. In Cahokia, it's a dirt mound, but underneath the dirt mound is a pyramid structure.
So it's been covered up somehow, yeah.
Well, you know, the Mississippi has moved over 2,000 years for a long ways away, and that's Cahokia is right on the banks of the Mississippi.
Well, it's very possible that that original pyramid, the one that the mounds cover, could be thousands and thousands of years old.
Absolutely.
Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Good morning, George, Glenn.
Hi.
This is Bill from Van, Texas. I was wondering, could the Anasazi that disappeared from the Southwest be involved with this?
Without any question. And once again, I refer you to this particular piece of material called He Walked the Americas. The Anasazi had confronted a cataclysmic event, which caused them to flee from their homelands there in the cliff-like dwellings. Absolutely. They were taught how to grow corn and their crops in this very hostile environment in which they lived, and they claimed that the great pale god had taught them how to do it.
And when you talk about He Walked the Americas, I could only guess who you're making reference to, Glenn.
Well, it's not my naming. L. Taylor Hansen wrote that from Southern California. She was a professor at Southern California. She wrote the original book, He Walked the Americas. We did a class on her book, but I also have her diaries or her notes about her life, which I also included in the class, so it's an expanded version of. But there's a hard copy of the text on the site, and there's certainly a class. And you know, the website is just a haven for people who want or are just starving to find the connections.
All right, Glenn, stay with us. Websites again. Why don't you give us your website, Mr. Kimball?
It's ancientmanuscripts.com or www.kimballcollege.com. It goes to the same place.
All of it linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We make it very easy for you. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Now, when we come right back, we'll have final phone calls with Glenn Kimball. Then, because I did this little flip tonight, we'll have open lines in the last hour, and Glenn has just given us a phenomenal idea. We'll open up a special hotline then. The undead line, those of you who have witnessed strange undead creatures and entities who somehow help out, maybe they're evil, and then they merely disappear. Back in a moment, final calls on Coast to Coast AM with Glenn Kimball. We'll be back. Interested in our book, Worker in the Light, where we give you some tips on time traveling, not in a machine. It's pretty fascinating. You can pick it up as we wind down the first printing. Amazon.com has it at a steep discount, or it's available at your favorite bookstore. It is called Worker in the Light. When we come back, we'll have more phone calls with Glenn Kimball on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Glenn, tell us a little more about the immortal that you stumbled across many moons ago.
Well, you know, one of the curious things we ought to do one of these days, we always talk about aliens coming to this world.
Yeah.
Why don't we do a show on the people from this world who went there, along with their whole societies, and didn't come back?
Oh, really?
We need to do that one, George.
That could be a home run show, Glenn.
And we can. And it's varied, and it's diverse, and it's deep, and we'll do that one sometime.
Work it out with Lisa. Absolutely. But this immortal here, people are saying, who was he? What did he look like? And how old do you think he was?
Well, I knew he was... He walked into... I was... I was in my establishment closing it up for the night. It was kind of a little restaurant area. It was behind the counter. And a guy walked through a locked door. I'd locked the darn door. I thought, how did I? It must have not have been locked.
Well, that's not a good feeling either, is it?
And he walked in, and, you know, I'm colorblind, but I saw a color that I had never seen before in his eyes. That's the thing that just floored me. When he looked at me, I knew something was weird going on because he had these ocean blue eyes. It was just incredible. And he sat down, and right before this event, I had written my first book, Hidden Stories of the Childhood of Jesus. And I was about to throw the manuscript in the trash, thinking to myself, well, first of all, who would ever read this? And second of all this will do is bring harassment to my family and to myself all the rest of my life and change the course of what I'm doing in my life. I'm just going to chuck it in the trash. And I had the manuscript ready to throw right in the garbage can when this guy walked in. And he said, we know what you're about to do. Do not throw your manuscript away. He said, and I was just stunned, because how could he possibly know what I was planning to do? And then he said, if you leave it there, tens of thousands of people will benefit from this, and you will be able to fulfill your purpose in life. And I was so stunned that I dropped everything that was in my hand. I bent over to pick it up, and I looked up, and he was gone. And I went over and tested that door, and it was still locked.
Oh, man.
Pardon me, that wasn't your regular run-of-the-mill kind of guy that wanders off the street.
No, it sure was. Could have been a guardian angel.
Well, I shook his hand. You know, one of the things I told him, I left that one comment, I told him, he said, I asked him, can I help you? And he said, no, but I can help you. And I said, well, I don't need any insurance. So I must have acted a little bit flippant with him. But no, I shook his hand. He was every bit as tangible as you are.
And you felt comfortable around him.
Comfortable? I felt special around him. And when he left, I felt like I was encapsulated in some... Maybe it was just an attitude. I don't know. But I felt like I was protected from everything. Like
I don't know, Glenn, if I was locking up my restaurant and some guy walked in and he had funny colored eyes, I'd feel a little edgy.
I felt like he was my brother. I mean, I felt really comfortable, except I'm a little sarcastic with everybody, George. That's my basic nature. My wife says that the only way that you relate to me is that you have to poke fun with me. And I said, that's true, but it's because I love you dearly, and I say it 10 times a day.
Do people pick up on your sense of humor quickly, or does it take them a while?
No, George, I'm being polite on the air. My sense of humor comes straight off the cuff instantly.
Let's go back to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, hi. This is Robin from the Bay Area, and I wanted to say it's a privilege to talk to both of you. You do spread joy, George and Glenn. Glenn, I wanted to get your input on two things. They may seem a little divergent, but actually they're closely related. One of them is that I would love to get your comment on the fact that the Great Pyramids were actually built to be part of the ceremony of resurrecting what they termed as the winged pharaohs, and that they were never built as funerary mausoleums.
Well, first of all, just to answer that question, you're dead on. Now ask your second one.
The second one that I wanted to mention, and this particularly for George, you were commenting that your overall take of the things that have touched you the most is the goodness of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to mention that like attracts like, positive attracts positive, negative attract negative. And that perhaps you could expand a little bit in speaking of demons and speaking of negativity and speaking of negative entities, that you draw these energies to the radio, that you draw these energies to the forefront, And I'm always very uncomfortable when you bring that forward, George. And maybe Glenn could expand on that, and you could too, and I'd be happy to listen to your response on the air. And again, a pleasure to speak to you.
Okay. I've always believed that if you talk about demons and other entities like that, that the positiveness that you attract is one way to offset that, because it is there. You can't hide it. And by the mere fact that we talk about it, bring it forward, I think makes us stronger. Glenn, what do you think?
Well, I think the very purpose of life, as told Adam and Eve, was to know the difference between good and evil. With your children, you have to teach them with the goodness of life at a very young age, because they don't understand evil. But there comes a time in life part of the reason why some of these societies left the earth, by the way, was because they became too good. And they would have upset the balance of good and evil on the earth.
So true. Next up, Wild Card Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George here from Pittsburgh. George and
hey,
Glenn.
George. Go ahead.
Glenn, two items. One, Glenn, in a certain sense, I guess we're cousins.
In that,
John the Baptist and Mary would be my cousins, and her mother, my grandmother, in a certain sense, extreme grandmother, that is. And then and I come by way of Indian blood to make that happen, plus English and Polish. So I'm related to three kings over the kingship in three different ways. So somehow we're cousins.
Isn't
that interesting?
Sure.
And now the other thing is about the hourglass type metal that you found there, or showed the Egyptians carried it on their back. Right now it's -8 up in Michigan. That means that when they would have to go for this metal, they'd have to do it seasonally, meaning that we must have ports down the Mississippi River all the way down, and maybe several ports in order to get back to Egypt in a 3-year period.
That's correct.
So therefore, with the divining equipment that we have today, we should be able to track those copper plates right down the Mississippi, because surely not all those boats made it without having problems sinking.
Well, have you ever been to Little Egypt in Illinois?
I have not.
Well, that's why they call it Little Egypt.
Well, they got to have ports, several ports down there, and I was wondering if any of you or any of your friends are tracking those copper plates down at Mississippi, because they
not only that, we're tracking the actual tablets themselves all the way down to Mississippi and some of the cave locations where they docked.
Yeah. Okay, now, George, you had asked if there's any, when you have this blood, if anything ever happens.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you two incidents that have happened. One, a message from Medjugorje from Mary saying I was too advanced on an anti-gravity machine, making at the time, that caused Star Wars to happen, because I was dealing with a Schultz that was a cousin to George Schultz, Secretary of State. Actually happened
under Reagan, I believe.
Under Reagan, right.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was that Art Bell had one evening a youngster out in California and asked us to give a prayer for them. And of course, no, and I prayed. Naturally, I'm asking God the connection, et cetera, if something would happen. And immediately on the air, they said, Jesus, a fantastic blue light happened out there in that particular hospital. So some of us must have. Well, what I'm saying, not us as an individual, but if our spiritual belief is connected, apparently we can sometimes do something.
There's no doubt about that.
So I just wanted to tell you that. So that bloodline may have something in it.
Well,
okay,
thank you, George.
That's it. Bye-bye.
I appreciate that. Good call. There he is.
Well, great ancestor, my great-great-granddaddy was David Patton Kimball, which means that we're related to General Blood and Guts Patton. So that's the obstinate side of my family.
Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on. Hi there.
Oh, hi there, George.
Hi.
Glenn.
Yes.
I'm calling from freezing cold Springfield, Missouri.
Oh, yeah, it gets cold there. And Glenn, you're very familiar with that region.
I am, but I'm wearing shorts, and it's wonderful here in Arizona.
Oh, lucky you. As far as the undead, I have, I call the undead breatharians, and I was fortunate enough to run into a breatharian. I lived on Catalina Island, and it was something that I had planned to do, to set up sort of a reincarnation sort of seminar, and he just walked right into my life, and just like you said, Glenn, I felt like I had known him forever. I immediately felt so comfortable. I put together the whole seminar, and so many people learn from that particular thing, myself included, and he just kind of walked in my life and walked out of my life, and he did not eat. He, believe it or not, smoked cigarettes and drank coffee, and that was it. I never hardly saw him eat a thing, and I was with him for at least 5 days straight, and he talked to you telepathically and let me know about my past lives. And like I said, other people that were involved in the seminar that I set up, he also helped them. But that's all he did. That was his assignment. And that's why he was here, was to let other people know about what their other lives had been like and how they could get through this one in a better and how I got a glimpse of heaven. I will never forget that, the most peaceful moment. And his name was Brian Jamison. And I prayed to him tonight because it's been an odd evening, even to get through. I'm going, there's something out of kilter. I wasn't even going to listen to Coast to Coast, and I always do. And I go, oh, I got to see what's going on. I just have to see what's going on. And now you're on there, Glenn, and you two have been just really entertaining me. I truly am going to read some of your literature and just want to thank you and let everybody know when you, yeah, his eyes were ocean blue, just like you said. It's an incredible story.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. It does happen, Glenn.
It does more often than you know, and we could tell some more stories, but we will go on with the phone calls.
First-time caller line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Wow. Hey, George, first of all, man, let me just say thanks for continuing to consistently expand my mind.
You are welcome. Thank you.
My name is Jason, and I'm calling from Knoxville. And I'm a studier of ancient Gnostic traditions and beliefs.
Okay.
And
well, Glenn Kimball's your man, Jason.
Okay. Well, first of all, I've been doing this really interesting reading on Akhenatons and the Armana cult's influence on Moses' early years, as he was practicing, you know, the ancient Egyptian religious beliefs,
yeah,
you know, before he had exiled. But what I was really, really wanting to call and ask Glenn about was, has he ever heard of what is called the Emerald Stone, which is from the Book of Thoth, which is a very early, early Egyptian Gnostic book, and it talks about the seven pillars, which is like the seven different like societies, which the Assyrians being one of them, and possibly the Toltecs. And I was also going to ask him if he knew anything about how the particular religion has its influences today on the Freemason. Because if you look at the on the Book of Thoth, the green emerald is the shape of the sign of Freemasonry, which is the the ruler and the what else?
The compass.
Okay, that is actually supposedly an ancient Egyptian hieroglyph for the emerald stone, which is conclusive with God Thoth, which is considered to be the first great magician.
Let's get his reaction to that, Jason, and I'll let you listen on your radio. Glenn?
Well, the Book of Thoth is not an ancient text. It's a manufactured text. It's a great text in terms of wisdom, but it's not an ancient text at all. It's a composite of belief systems. One of the things that I do in my work is I don't want to discredit people's belief, But when a text is clearly not an ancient text that has a source, I've done a lot of reading in the Toth, and the Toth is a modern document, not an ancient document. Though many of the principles it talks about are ancient in origin. But you know, one of the things that would help this gentleman is we have classes on all those subjects on the website. The Amarna dynasties, the 18th dynasty, is a story of the children of Joseph who was sold into Egypt. And you know, in Israel there were 12 tribes, the fifth of which was the Jews, tribe of Judah. But the birthright son was the tribe of Joseph. And we always seem to revert back to asking the Jews about our own history, when in reality we maybe ought to ask the birthright son's histories that are very much with us today, what they say about the very same issues. And it would change your thinking in that process, and there are classes to that effect on the website.
Let's go to one last quick call if we can. Go ahead, please.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, my name's Stephanie. I'm calling from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hi, Steph.
Hi. It's been an absolute pleasure to listen to this evening. It's amazing, everything that you've expounded upon. I do have a quick question, though.
I'm glad it's quick because we've got a minute left.
So. Okay. I'll just ask it and then I'll get off and listen to your response. But you had talked earlier about Avalon being in the Americas. And I wanted to know what the correlation between that and the Arthurian legends of Avalon lying beyond the mists was.
Absolutely. Avalon is another name for apple. But the Avalon was supposedly beneath the constellation of the Americas, and when he stood on Mount Tor, King Arthur, and said, "My treasure is in Avalon," he was facing west into the ocean. pardon me. There's nothing west of in the ocean there until you get to Greenland or Newfoundland or the Americas. So it was definitely west of there. But you know, you're not wrong. That's a brilliant comment, and the land of the mists was a land that was mysterious, a land that was misty most of the time, and that was in Newfoundland.
Glenn, thank you so much for being on the show, and I'm glad we were able to move you up a little bit for folks on the East Coast.
It's always such a delight to be with you, George.
You're a good man. Glenn Kimball. And we'll be back in a moment. We've got open lines for you now, including the Undead Hotline. Let me give you a jump start on that number. Just for the Undead line, that's 818-817-0021. The other lines, you can call about the Undead or anything else, but the special topic line tonight is the Undead line. Those creatures, those entities that have just come in and come out of your life and poof, they were gone. 818-817-0021.